This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
WBAI.org. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille.
Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you things to think about. Things to think about. Guests, sometimes, books, articles, new stuff, research. Hey, listen, here's what we're going to try to bring you. Do violent video games make young people more aggressive? There's a question for you. It's not the topic of today's show, but it was something that I've been following. And it turns out that in the American Psychological Association calls for a reduction of violence in all video games, saying that the evidence from its 20 years of research was clear that the children who watch or who play these video games tend to be more violent. There's more hostility in the short term. In the long term, there's no difference, not much of a difference between the ones who play the video games and the ones who don't. Violence is violence as they get older. But in youth, there was more short-term effect of video games. So much so that it's been started to be used as a defense for people who committed crimes. A guy named Devin Moore, who killed three people when he was 18, used as his defense that he had gotten into video games, and the video game Grand Theft Auto encouraged his violence. He lost. I mean, he wound up getting convicted. But there is enough evidence to it to indicate that that perhaps once we're getting some materials. Is it that everybody who watches a violent video game is going to have the same reaction? No, people have different reactions to everything. And that's what we want to talk about today, because I believe one of the ways of loving people is to understand how different they are than you. People are different. Do you hear what I hear? There's a thing. We have different senses. You have hearing, we have what we see, we have what we smell, and we have what we taste. Do you hear what I hear? What kind of music do you like? Do you imagine that you like a kind of music that nobody else likes? How about this? How many kinds of music do you think there are? How many can you name? Off the top of your head, go ahead, check one off. How about alternative rock, right? You know that. How about blues? That's easy enough. How about Broadway music? There's another kind. Children's music. You like children's music? You like gospel music? You like classic rock? You know, the easy kind. Do you like classical music, country music, DJ music and dance music, folk music, hard rock and heavy metal music? Or do you like imported music, you know, foreign music, music from other countries? Or do you like indie music or jazz or Latin music or New Age music or opera and vocal music? What about opera? I mean, do you think the people who like opera like alternative rock? How about pop music, rhythm and blues, rap and hip-hop music, or soundtracks? You know? There's a lot of different kinds of music. A lot of different kind of music, and so, well, does everybody like, well, how is it that somebody could like country music and hate the Beatles? I remember when the Beatles first came on the scene. I heard the music for the first time. I was very young. And I said, I wasn't that young, but I heard the Beatles music. I thought it was terrible. My first hearing was, what's that? The yelling. See, but then after that, after a while, I couldn't listen to Frank Sinatra anymore. You know, I couldn't, oh, what's that kind of music? Your tastes are different. We listen to one thing, and other people listen to another, and we sometimes mock their music. Well, you see, the thing that's wrong with us is that we tend to mock things that are not like us. For example, bagpipes. You know, bagpipes, do you like bagpipes? You like the sound of bagpipes? Some people can't, actually, they can't tolerate it for a minute, right? Because it's such a harsh sound to their ears. Well, can you imagine if you're in Scotland, this is your violin. This is your beautiful music. So I'm going to be asking you about the different things that you like. There are a couple of conditions which affect our preferences. Do you know what tone deafness is? To be tone deaf, it's called amusia, A-M-U-S-I-A. 4% of the population is amusic. Now, amusic is just what it sounds like. It's related to speech disorders and reading disorders like dyslexia. You know, if you were to do the study of the brains of people who are amusic, you would find out that they do not respond to small changes of pitch. So if you have a thing on their brain and you suddenly change the pitch, they don't have any reaction. If you give them a broad change in pitch, they have an overreaction. Therefore, when listening to somebody who is tone deaf, which is amusic, singing, they sing flat, right? They're flat, and then they scream. They have these two levels. And so, you know, come to me, my melancholy baby. And they hear it as they're singing it as they hear it. But people are in music. There are people, there are certain fragrances that only certain people could smell and other people can't smell. The flower freesia is only smellable to a certain number of people and other people can't smell it. There are certain odors that are totally offensible to people that are totally likable to others. Now, why do we bring this up today? Because I also believe that you have to respect the feelings of other people as well as their taste, their touch, you know, and the way they are. I mean, just, we have different tastes. Taste buds, what do you like? Do you like salt? Sweet? Bitter? Some people like bitter. Some people like sour. You know, there is no taste bud for hot. There are people who love heat. You know, and there is we don't know if this is a taste bud. But there are people who love the burn, like chili peppers and stuff like that. And then there's umami. Umami. Do you know what umami is? Umami. Kakuni Akida, pardon me for pronouncing his name wrong, discovered at the beginning of the 20th century, 1902, umami. Umami, he said, there's a taste bud which is common to asparagus, tomatoes, and cheese, which is not one of the four known taste buds. It is not sweet, not sour, not bitter, not salty. I thought tomatoes are salty and tomatoes are sweet and tomatoes are... But he said, no, there's a unique taste. And what he did was he went to study this taste. And he found out that this taste was present in a broth called kombu, which was a type of seaweed. And this wound up being glutamate. Now, glutamate is a natural amino acid. It's a building block of protein. We have it in our bodies. We carry it all the time. But he was able to synthesize this into a salt-like, sugar-like substance, a shaker, and he called it mono. He found that the most stable form was monosodium glutamate, which is the active ingredient in most of the oriental foods that we receive, you know, when they spice it up with a flavor. Umami. Umami means kind of like tastiness, it makes everything fall together. It's a unique flavor. We didn't even know we had that flavor. Some people love it, and they go out of their way because what they get in a lot of the different foods they taste. If you ever ordered a food from a Chinese restaurant and you said leave out any salt or any monosodium glutamate, leave it out, this food tastes absolutely dead. It's brought together by this substance. So people have different tastes, and some people like the umami. Some people like, it's called savoriness, you know, it's a word for it. Some people like sweet, some people like sour. Now imagine you were related to somebody who liked salt and you like sweet. And you said to them, here are some chocolates. And they said to you, here are some potato chips. And you said, oh, no, I don't want potato chips. I would like chocolates, too. And they said, well, I don't really want chocolate. I really want potato chips. And you'd say you think they're crazy. They're supposed to like chocolates. And they think, well, how do people like anything that sweet? You're supposed to like salt. So if it's this different in tastes, what is it in other things? What about visuals? What about things you see? You know, you look at something, it could be beautiful to your eye, and it might be not attractive to another eye, which reminds me of a story. Pablo Picasso met Edward Steichen. Steichen was this great photographer, you know, really great photographer. And Steichen said to Picasso, why do you paint people so distortedly? And Picasso said, I don't paint them distortedly, I paint them the way I see them. And Picasso said, that's the way I see them. And Steichen said, no, no, no. When I take a photograph, I show you exactly what is. When you paint, you don't see what is. And Picasso said, when I paint, I see what is. And Steichen, getting a little upset, reaches into his pocket and pulls out this little 3x5 photograph of his wife. And he holds it up and he says, look, when I take a photograph, you see who's there. He says, this is my wife, he says, holding up the photograph. And Picasso said, small, isn't she? So we see things differently. You know, Picasso would see things differently. Clearly he had different eyes. Clearly many artists have different eyes. What happens when I look at you and you look at me? What happens when two people look at each other with love and they see one of the great beauties of all time? Imagine looking across from you at a table and seeing somebody who may or may not consider themselves beautiful in the world, but to them, you're it. You're the whole world. I went to see March of the Penguins. Did you see that? March of the Penguins. What a movie. What a movie. I met the lead actor. No. March of the Penguins is about penguins in Antarctica. And it's about penguins just making their march to their mating place, which they do every when they get to be 5 years old. And it's just amazing. Somewhere in the story, they indicate that all these penguins, males and females, all go to the same bar. You know, they crawl through, they swim underwater, then they finally get to the Antarctic, and they go to this one location, this one iceberg where they were all born. Like all of these penguins were born on that spot. And they go there to meet their mate, and they go around, and they kind of walk around and walk around like you do at a dance or at a bar, and you try to meet your mate. And then everybody hooks up. Everybody finds somebody. And you know when you find that somebody that they're perfect for you. And then those two wind up having a baby. And then, right after the baby's born, the mother gives the baby to the father, and the mother goes back to the sea to get food. You see? And now she's gone for months, and the father's tending the baby. But somehow, when she comes back, the baby knows exactly who she is from the hundreds and thousands of mothers that come back. And then the father goes off, you know, and when he comes back, the baby knows exactly who's who, and the mother knows who's who, and the father knows who's who. And they recognize each other for this entire year of bringing this baby up. And then at the end of it, they split, and they never see each other again. They divide up, and they don't even take care of the baby. The baby goes, too. So what is this function that we have? What is this smell function, recognizable function, thing we see? What is this? We fall in love. Can you imagine the number of people you've fallen in love with in your life? On first sight, you look at them and you go, oh, my dream. And then later you look at them and you say, I can't imagine what I saw in that person. Our sights are different. The way we hear people are different. You know, I mean, there are people whose voices are music to me. I love to hear them speak. Happens to be people I love, whose voices I love to hear. There are voices that you could listen to that just sound beautiful, you know. They just, ooh, they have a wonderful sound to them. And then you don't notice the other voices. You don't say to yourself, oh, they have such an annoying voice. A few people do have annoying voices, you know, when they are like a naggy. It's more the way they speak than their voice itself. It's kind of a naggy sound. But basically, there's a beautiful sound to their voice, and you love it because you love them. So here's what I would like to ask you. I'd like to ask you to remind you that people are different, and it's very, very important to understand your differences, because all war is based on not recognizing the differences. We believe that people should not wear turbans because it's different. Now, we don't believe it, but people wage war based on that. We believe that difference is not acceptable. Everybody should be our way. Everybody should live with our kind of government. You know, look at what we're doing in the world nowadays. You know, we're forcing our government because your government doesn't work. So I want to hear from you, and here's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear political statements. I'm going to ask you a very interesting thing about your senses. What do you like to, now write these down. And every time I say write these down, some people say I'll remember them. Now write them down. Write them down because I'd like you to call in. What is it that you could imagine is your favorite or among your favorite, and then this is a science experiment, so I need your help with this. You'll be calling me. What is your favorite thing to see, to smell, to hear, to taste, and to touch? Now, I'm going to move this away from other humans. So you cannot say the most beautiful thing I could see is my husband. The thing I like to touch the most is my wife. The thing I like to smell the most is the fragrance of, you know, the person I love. No, I'm going to move it away from people. In the world, my friends, in all the world, now we're going to see. You're going to see when people call in that you're going to either agree or disagree with them. How could you agree or disagree? But you're going to see it triggers it inside you. 212-209-2900. This is the beginning of the experiment. This is Armand DeMille. We're talking about differences tomorrow, by the way. Roberta Atti and I are going to be starting on, this is another great Roberta idea, the sacraments. The sacraments according to all the different religions, starting with baptism, to what happens at adolescence, to what happens, and what they mean. And we're going to just watch the different ways that people treat these things. It's kind of amazing. Amazing what it means. What does baptism mean to a Jew, to a Christian, to a Muslim, you know, so on and so forth. And you're going to find yourself really torn in there as well. Torn with judgments has become the most difficult thing. 212-209-2900. What is it that you like most to, you write these down, because I'm hoping you're going to do it in order, because I'm going to try to keep records here. Taste, smell, touch, sound. Taste, what do you like to taste the most? What do you like to smell the most? Oh, and see. Okay, and see is last. Taste, smell, touch, sound, hear. That's hear. I'm going to change that to hear. Taste, smell, touch, hear, and see. Even if you're my friends who are listening, write this down because I want to talk to you about it. I want to hear 212-209-2900 other than another person, okay, other than peoples. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello there.
Good afternoon, Armand. How
Good
are you?
Good afternoon. I'm fine.
So I didn't have a pen, so I don't have the correct order, but I can answer them spontaneously.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the first one is the thing that I cite.
Taste is first.
Taste, chocolate.
Chocolate. Clear winner, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember the order. I'm sorry.
Smell.
Smell. That would have to be the ocean.
Oh, okay. Touch.
Touch a baby bird.
A baby bird?
Yeah, nothing like a baby bird.
Like what kind of bird?
Parrots. I've had baby parrots.
Baby
parrots. It's just phenomenal.
What do they feel like?
They feel vulnerable in the palm of your hand, and it's like this amazing trust that happens between the two of you.
So there's a kind of a, I just want to understand, it's a baby bird. It's like this downy thing? Are you talking
about? Yeah, just like pin feathers, and it's probably one of the ugliest, beautiful things you've ever seen.
It's so fragile because a part of you realizes that you could kill it by grabbing it.
Absolutely.
And you get a sense that this is complete, it's in your hands.
Yes.
And it's like such a precious moment to know that something that precious is in your hands.
Totally.
I got it. Okay. And here?
Here, I would have to say the sound of a drum.
What kind of drum?
A hand drum, a dumbek, actually, a Middle Eastern drum.
A dumbek, I know. That's a nice deep drum.
Yeah.
Do you play a dumbek?
I'm learning, yeah.
I could tell. You know those taiko drums? Did you ever see those?
The big...
big Japanese drums.
Oh, my God, the Kodo drummers?
Yes, they're amazing.
That is phenomenal. It takes such endurance and commitment.
And what energy. I mean, what an exercise. Imagine when a Kodo drummer, after he does his thing, he goes home to his wife, he must be mush. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, I think they're energized.
I imagine, but there can't be any aggression left.
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's a bit of aggression. Have you ever seen them? I have.
Yes, I saw them
once.
It
goes right through you. It's amazing.
All right, and the last to see, your best visual.
I would have to say a sunset.
Okay, beautiful things. What's your name?
I'm Susan. I have had a session with you.
Okay, Susan. Well, nice to meet with you.
Nice to meet you also.
No, and nice to speak to you after having had a session with me.
Yes. Thank you very much for all you do.
I'm pleased. Did everything come out okay, Susan?
Oh, I'm still in progress. I'm a work in progress. Hope I am until I die.
Great.
Have a great one.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Chocolate. Taste. Ocean. Smell. Baby bird. Touch. The deep drum of a dumbek, and the sunset. Now, if you were listening to Susan call, and I said all those things, what happened in your mind? What happened with you when I said chocolate? Did you get chocolate? Did you get the taste of chocolate? And did you say, yeah, I can understand that. How about the smell of the ocean? Do you get that? How about the baby bird in your hands? Precious of it? Well, would you have chosen a kitten over a baby bird? It's a real interesting question, right? Now, Susan, the dumbek, can you understand the deep drum like that being your favorite sound in the world? More than my new telephone? My new telephone. I think I told this last week. I got the greatest phone. I got an old phone. They have these down at WBAI. It's an old metal telephone with the push buttons. It used to be standard operating procedure whenever you would go to AT&T and you got a phone for your home in the 70s. This was the phone. Had 9 buttons on it. Didn't have any redial, no speakerphone, nothing else. And it was a big, heavy metal thing. And it was painted bright red. So I got one of those recently. Someone gave me one of those, and I've been talking on the phone with those, and it is such an amazing device because it's this solid thing that you could cradle in your arm. I strongly recommend if any of you have old phones around that you're not using, send them my way. I think we may install them here. They're wonderful. And a friend of mine said, you know what's wonderful about these phones? When you hang up on somebody, you feel like you're doing something. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. It'll be there in a second. When we get too much time in between callers, they kind of go away. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, you can hear me?
I sure can.
This is Kenya.
Hello, Kenya.
Hi. Okay. What I like to taste more than anything in the world is popcorn.
Wait, stop right there. Popcorn. Is your radio turned down all the way, by the way?
Yeah, I'm not even anywhere near a radio.
You're not?
No, I'm in the computer room.
And you heard us on the computer?
No, no, no. I was listening to the radio, and then I turned it down, and I came to work on the computer while I was holding to get you on the air.
How nice. Okay, well, popcorn. I've got to take this simple one. Popcorn, which I'm going to tell secrets about in a moment. I'm not going to ruin anything for you. Plain old popcorn, popcorn that's aired, Louis Rukeyser popcorn.
No, I make it myself. You know, I try. But, you know, I like popcorn, and then I put salt on it. So I like popcorn with salt on it. Not necessarily butter, but definitely salt.
In a frying pan or in a microwave?
No, I don't have a microwave. I have an old pot. I put some vegetable oil in it, and I pop it myself, and I shake it up and down and put salt on it and eat it.
And that's the way you like it, and you love this stuff.
I love popcorn.
How do you like the smell of popcorn?
It makes me feel good.
How do you like that? You know, Kenya, here's what I heard from some kids the other day. Teenagers who's, and this is a group of people who come from privileged families, and they have, they take over houses when the parents go away. They start to have parties. So they get lots of beer and lots of drugs, and there's marijuana and cigarettes and alcohol, right, in the house. And they party all weekend, but now the house stinks of beer and drugs and tobacco, and their parents are coming home. And you know what one of the kids taught me? He said, oh, we just pop popcorn. He says, all you have to do is put the buttered popcorn, the pre-buttered popcorn, in the microwave, and the smell fills the house and disguises every other smell there is.
Well, I don't know about the beer and the drugs and the liquor, because I don't do those things.
Are you sure? I'm only kidding, of course.
Yeah. So
but you love popcorn. But you see, popcorn does have another use. Okay. Other uses for popcorn. How about at Christmas? Did you ever string popcorn?
No, that's boring.
I'm just thinking if you string it, you could also eat it when when you have nothing to do. What about what you like to smell the most?
I like to smell lemons.
Yeah.
Lemons.
Lemons are beautiful, right?
Just plain lemons. You know, even like if I go into the, before I buy my fruits and my vegetables, I usually smell them. But I like the smell of lemons.
Mm-hmm. You smell lemons when they're not open?
When they're not open?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't break it, you could still.
Yeah, but then when I open it, then I put it in my tea, or sometimes I just drink hot water and lemon.
Okay, and your favorite touch, the thing you like to
touch? Oh, I like to touch small, furry animals. I have a guinea pig. I like to touch guinea pigs and rabbits and anything that's small and fuzzy-like.
Small, fuzzy, and alive. Did you see that movie, the March of the Penguins?
No, but I am going to see it.
They sure show some fuzzy little penguins.
Anything that's like, but it has to be like furry-like, okay?
Yeah, furry.
Right. What I like to see, I like to see water.
Any kind of water? Running
water,
ocean, tap water?
Water that I'm going to swim in, you know, any water in, you know, running
and what,
water.
And what about hearing?
I like to hear the saxophone, John Coltrane.
And really specifically Coltrane-y kind of saxophone.
Yeah, or Dexter Gordon
or any of that crew. How about Stan Getz? Is that not okay?
Nah, Stan, I mean, he's okay. My favorite is John Coltrane and then, you know, Dexter Gordon. And then I like...
How about Ben Webster? Do you get...
He's too hard.
Uh-huh.
He's too hard.
You want that soft... You like your music the way you like your baby animals.
Yeah.
You know, you want it to roll over you like water.
Yeah.
You know, there's a part of you, as you're describing this, there's a part of you that just is all indulgent. You know, you like to swim in the things you love the most.
Okay.
Like you love your lemons because they just kind of bathe you with their smell, and they're not harsh, and the small furry animals are not harsh, and the Coltrane's not harsh. And the water that you see, you don't go see roaring oceans. You like to see water that you're going to swim in.
Right.
You're a gentle kind of person, Kenya.
I think so.
I think so, too.
I think so, but I'm misunderstood.
By whom? By
people
who don't like popcorn.
No, but people who mistake kindness for weakness, and then my claws come out.
You could be mean. If you need to be, you could fight for yourself.
You better believe it. I had a fight yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
No. It was a good fight. was a good fight. Whenever I'm protecting things, people, or children, or people who I see as defenseless, and somebody take advantage of them, I fight them.
Kenya, love to be glad you're on our side.
Yep.
Thank you for calling in. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're going to take a very short break.
Okay.
When we come back, Kenya, a little music for you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Short break. And this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM.
Tahrir Liberation. Marhaba, I'm Barbara Nimri Aziz. Tahrir is a long WBAI tradition and still strong in voices of the Arab Muslim community here and abroad. I invite you to tune in Tuesday evenings at 7 for discussions on Islam and society, justice and injustice, in-depth interviews with writers from across the world, and Fen Mashnoon, Crazy Arts, with Dean and Maysoon.
Zero 7 from their Simple Things album. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Now, we're starting off really simple, as we usually do. And unlike, but like she says, we never do anything nice and easy. Starting off with trying to talk about your taste, smell, touch, hearing, and sound. Now, watch this. You know, Kenya teaches us a lesson. Everything about Kenya is soft and gentle. But then Kenya describes, she says, and if I need to be, I'll have a good fight. And if somebody's trying to hurt something I love, I'll rip their heart out. Interesting, right? 212-209-2900. Everybody has different tastes, smell, touch, hearing, and seeing. And what I'm asking you to just start off with, and now we're going to take it up a level, what are your favorite senses? So what is the thing you like to taste the most, smell the most, touch the most, hear the most, and see the most? And now we're going to move it down a little bit. Let's take one of your calls, 212-209-2900. 209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, do you mind if I switch my phone? This is just dying a little bit.
Please.
Hello, you there?
Yes, I am.
Sorry. For taste, I just love just somebody's home-cooked pasta. Just favorite little pasta.
Now, wait. When you say home-cooked pasta, do you want the pasta to be home-cooked, or do you not care? As long as it's pasta, but it's made with a home kind of sauce.
Like if I had it out in a restaurant and it was like that, that'd be fine.
Okay, but it's not home-cooked if it's at a restaurant.
No, but you know, like, it wouldn't be at a restaurant. It might be at some divey kind of place that actually has really good food.
You mean a place that makes their sauce and they make it with a real recipe and it's not coming out of a can?
And it's always the same because that one person made it.
I got you. Okay. Is there such a place?
Yes, there is. I'm happy to tell you.
Which place is it?
It's a place in Brooklyn on 6th Avenue, just off the corner of Flatbush, heading toward by the police station.
And what's the name of the place?
It's a Mideast. It's Maha's. It's really
Maha's. All right. So if anybody wants to have a
it's
really
it's excellent,
good,
yeah. She makes a good pasta with cheese and sauce, and it's excellent.
I think we're getting hungry here. What's your name?
Marie.
Marie. Now, where are you from, England, or are you from Australia?
I would rather not, say, if you don't mind. I feel like it's such a recognizable voice. I don't really want to give it away.
Okay.
I'll give you one clue, though. I just met a Frenchman who I thought was an Englishman because he'd spent 36 years in England. So I think my accent's a little twisted, that's all I'll say.
That's very cute so far, Marie. Marie, what is your favorite smell?
Lilacs.
Lilacs, that's really... And you mean lilacs, the flowers that are cut?
Yep.
That incredible fragrance. How do you keep them alive after you cut them?
Well, you know, you don't. I think you just... Actually, what's really interesting about them is once they go, I think they last about... really prime, maybe 4 days you can get out of them. And if you know, you get rid of them, but they're still there. That half an hour, half a day after you got rid of them, they're still in the room somehow.
Did you ever feel that way about a relationship?
Well, yeah. Yes.
Tell me about that. You mean you got your relationship, they're good for a period of time, but then after you're done with them, there they are, still there.
Yes, which is why I don't like to have them too often, because the half-life is longer than the lilacs.
You know, if only they would go make some pasta. So, you know, men are like lilacs.
Yes, I think I never thought of it, but now that yes, you pointed out.
You know, you don't want to get a plant because, you know, yeah, it's too much tending. You'd rather have cut flowers.
Yes, yes.
Because when they go downhill, you could throw them out.
Well, I haven't done well with the flowers. I'm sad to say, I had a beautiful magnolia tree which I cherished, and they're very hard to keep, and I didn't do the right job by it. It went.
You were keeping it in a Manhattan apartment?
Yeah.
A magnolia tree in a Manhattan apartment?
Yeah.
You have some tough tasks there, let me tell you.
It was a gift from a guy who actually liked me, who was wonderful, and yeah.
You know, a little ivy might have been fun, but yeah. a magnolia tree for your apartment...
It was doomed, wasn't it?
It was kind of like the relationship, you know what I mean?
it was doomed, but irresistible.
Yeah, I got it. It looks pretty. What about your favorite touch,
Well,
Marie?
Kittens, cliche. Sorry, everybody, kittens.
Kittens because little, furry.
Furry, warm, and they're very scrumptious. You know, they're not like the bird. I mean, a bird, I think, is amazing. I think it's amazing somebody actually got to hold the little tiny bird. But... you can be just a little roughhouser with the little kittens, and they're quite happy, and they're very spunky, even though they're quite deliciously soft, you know.
And when was the last time you held a little kitten?
Oh, God, I was very lucky, about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, 2 weeks ago, you pick up a little kitten, and you put it in your hand.
Two of them, actually.
Two of them, and are they in the palm of your hand, or are they two hands? How
no, they're just smushed across the torso, squiggling here and there.
Okay, and I want to know this. What do you say to them? No, I really want to know.
Oh, I use voice.
I want to hear that
No,
voice.
I can't do that.
No, no, Marie, you must. I know this voice, and if you're going to share anything with our WBAI audience, I know your voice when you are petting little kittens. Come on.
God, what do I do? It's hard to quite remember. Like, they'd have to be here.
No, you don't. No. Just
a minute. I do a woo-woo-woo-woo. I do a really weird little woo-woo-woo voice.
Is it a little woo-woo-woo voice?
Yeah, but it's cuter than that. But, you know, yeah, there's words involved, little made-up name words.
Go ahead, let me see. For example,
Well, little itty-bitty baby and all that kind of junk.
I love watching grown-up people do this.
It's a joke, actually, but I can't.
No, it's not a joke. It's a precious thing. A kitten accesses some part of you that's absolutely gone.
Absolutely gone.
You know, it's like you're no longer in your logical mind. You just suddenly... Beep, 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 boop, beep,
oh, yeah,
pop,
no,
you know.
Visiting friends, and I didn't even, like, look at them. Like, I just went in and grabbed the kittens, and then a half an hour later I got to my cherished friends. I just couldn't...
We're learning a lot about you. What about your music?
Well, yeah, that was very funny, you know, and so I should ask you about this. The hearing thing was the hardest one I had to answer. And I thought, gee, maybe that's because it's my weakest, you know, sense, perhaps. I love voices very much. I love soundtracks very, very much. And I love silence very much, too.
So what don't you love in music? Do you dislike jazz?
No, I like it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't like country. I'm one of those people. And I don't like... I'm interested, though. Actually, I heard a hideous kind of rap, kind of street song, but it was really interesting. But it was hideous, but it was interesting. So
does music touch your mind?
No.
Or does it touch your heart?
Heart, yes. Like when I was listening to the crappy rap music, I was like, oh, this is interesting. It was just mental. And it didn't bother me emotionally, which is fine, you know. But the other stuff that I love is my beautiful melancholic soundtracks and, you know.
Do you have a particular soundtrack that you love the most?
Yeah, I love Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence.
What is that?
It was a David Bowie movie years and years, maybe in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s.
I got to find that.
Oh, it's exquisite. It's like... bell pipey kind of stuff. It's extraordinary.
Merry Christmas, Mr.
Mr. Lawrence. You will love it. I do promise. You will love it, and you will use it in one of your middle sections. You know.
Thank you. And what about what you see?
Oh, well, there's two, if I can do two, because I think seeing is probably my easiest, strongest favorite. And one is just very tall timbered trees with beautiful, you know, leaves, like in spring and summer, and the light just pouring through them. So it has to be a canopy of trees, and the light will dapple through, and you'll get a zillion colors of green. And then the other one is looking at beautiful faces. So it could be in a magazine, it could be on the street, trying to just pick out beauty, and or even on TV, if I'm watching a show, and I just see an absolutely exquisite face. That's heaven for me.
Well, I was leaving people out of this.
Okay, then we can toss them aside. We'll stick with the
trees because it's easy to go to the people.
Yes, it is.
But now, you see, Marie, thank you very much because here's what I'm learning, okay? I'm learning that you're a person that has a very unique sense of privacy. Did you notice I said privacy?
Tom Muchley. That's all I'm going to say about that, yes.
But you like your alone space, don't you?
Totally, yes.
Totally. And I know that in your alone space, it takes a great deal for you to open up and welcome somebody in. But when you do, you want to welcome them in to dance, you know, and you want it as long as it's a dance, you want to keep them around. But you don't want to be hanging in there for the bad news. Is that true?
Well, bad news like what?
Like bad relationships, like talking over the problems, like, you know, discussing all the difficulties, like anger, like stuff like that.
Well, I wouldn't say I was averse to it, but I can't say I don't like to reveal my issues. That would be accurate, but I'm happy to navigate.
So what is it, Marie, about this not revealing yourself? You know, like you don't even want to reveal where you come from because you think that
right,
gives
that's
away
right.
too much. What is it? Why are you so cautious?
You know, I don't quite. I mean, I know this is accurate about me, but I don't know really, really, really why. I think it's just very sensitive. I think really.
You get hurt easily.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's what we learn: we listen to you, and we listen to a very cheerful, very delightful person, Marie, who talks about loving pasta at this favorite little Middle Eastern restaurant in Brooklyn, and she loves lilacs because they're a beautiful fragrance, and when they go, they go. And she loves kittens and fondling kittens, and she loves to look at the canopy of trees with the sunlight coming through the tall arches, and she loves soundtracks and the beauty of old soundtracks as well. And she gets hurt easily. And so because she gets hurt easily, she has to keep a distance always. Everything should be... kind of transient, because she's a fast-stepping dancer. She likes to move. We know that about you. It's nice. I mean, it all makes up your personality. What do you feel? Tell me.
Dissatisfied, yeah.
You don't like it?
Sounds a little lonely, doesn't it?
Are you?
Sometimes, yes.
When you come down, when you drop down, and you get off the dance, when you get off, you know, your tiptoes, you know, that's when it hits.
Yes.
Yeah. You've got a lovely dance, though, I tell you. Marie, you got a lovely dance.
Grazie.
And if you're ever, ever, ever willing to go a step further, there's a way of getting underneath it all.
Well, how do you think, really?
Well, I think, you know, I think that there are feelings about landing on the earth that you have to face. There's pain. I could hear your relationship with your father was one of great pain for you.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Very remote.
Yeah, I hear.
Yes.
I hear you couldn't touch him.
Yes, I don't think anybody could, in fact.
And you carry that with you inside your heart.
Well, how do you get, you know, how do you, I mean, lots of people have had that. What do you do? I mean, it's there.
Now, there's a few different ways of dealing with it, but the most important thing to realize is that when you were a child and you had a father that you couldn't touch, what you had to do is make up a story in your mind about being happy.
Ah. Yeah, actually, you know what? I think that's actually what he did. People thought he was quite a cheerful type. And really, if you knew him, if you lived with him, right, absolutely not the truth. You know, a very, very different person behind closed doors. I think that's also something that keeps me at a distance with people. I never believe really what I see when I see them. I think it's a very different story once you know, you're inside the house.
Once you're inside the house, everybody kind of lets you down.
Mm.
Yeah, I hear, Marie. So what you do is eventually you do face it when you get tired of it. Eventually you settle down and you say, okay, I'm going to take on these feelings, the feelings that would have been there had you taken on the reality of the situation. Some of it is very painful. But once a person goes through it, it's gone. It's cleaned up. You know, and you might consider taking a closer look at it. Not that there's anything wrong with you the way you are, because if I'm listening to you, I want to have Kenya, Susan, and Marie on my team, wherever the team is going to be, because you're a beautiful being.
Thank you. Back at you.
Thanks.
So much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900, upping the ante. We're talking about the different senses. You see, my friends, you could sit, imagine now, if I sit anywhere with anyone, and I ask them how they like their popcorn. Somewhere inside everything that everybody tells you, there's a sense you get of their uniqueness. And then you take them and you put them all together. I mean, let's go back to Kenya. Popcorn, lemons, small furry animals, John Coltrane, and water. And you get a sense. But you think you get a sense of somebody who's absolutely a pushover, PC kind of person, you know. And Kenya tells us, oh, no, underneath that, if need be, I'm a strong fighter. And the same with Susan. You know, you hear this sense of this kind of sensual experience. But there's a great individuality in that, and there's a great independence. So if you learn to listen to people, you begin to hear for more than just what you know, and more than just what is familiar to you. You begin to hear, what is this for that person? 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Hello, Armand. It's good to hear from you. It's a lovely show. Thank you.
Thank you. What's your name?
Judy.
Hello, Judy.
Hi, Armand.
Excited about being on the air, huh?
I'm nervous about it. I don't know what that's excitement.
Well, yeah, nervousness is a form of excitement.
Okay.
You know, I mean, when you get excited, you get jittery. And jittery could be called nervousness or excitement. Either way, just whatever the mind wants to do with it.
Okay.
But you take your time and you take a breath and you take whatever time you need to be with me. I'm not going to rush you off the air.
Thank you.
That was quite a thing for me to say to you, I imagine, huh?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I know time is very precious for you on the air and for everybody listening.
And people's time has been too precious for you. People don't usually give you the time that you need.
Perhaps. I don't think they might have the time to give.
Yeah, I understand. So childhood was like that. You come from a big family?
No, not really.
What, were your parents busy?
Oh, sure. Everybody was busy.
Everybody was too busy to have the time for you.
Well, no, they were too busy to have the time for themselves. Everybody was working very hard.
Yeah, and that's what happens when you come from a family where everybody's working very hard. Mm-hmm. You just figure you're a low priority.
Yeah.
And then you get that feeling of being a low priority, and when you grow up, you feel like a low priority to everybody.
Yes.
Hey, what do you like to taste the most in the entire world, Susan? Judy?
Ripe fruit after it's really been in the sun, when you just take it from the sun.
When you take it right off the tree or right from
yeah.
the sun? Like what fruit?
Oh, just about anything I can eat. If it's fruit and it's been in the sun and it's ripe, I'll eat it. My favorite being the memory of peaches and figs.
Peaches and figs off the vine.
Yes.
It's absolutely incredible. I love the summer for that reason.
Yes.
You know, isn't summer wonderful? You go out, you get your, you know, I pick an eggplant. No, eggplants I wouldn't be eating off the vine. But I'll tell you, there's something about every one of them. It's our gift. You know, it's the gift that we get, being able to walk down. When I was a kid, I went to Hawaii. And when I went to Hawaii as a kid, fruit were falling from the trees everywhere. You know, there were mangoes and papayas, and they would just fall from the tree, you know, and you would catch them and eat them.
Oh.
You know, what a thing. It was like I couldn't believe that this existed in the world. You know, wonderful. So, Judy, what about your favorite smell?
The shallows of the ocean.
Now, where is the shallows of the ocean?
Well, like where there's, you know, where it starts to get, there's a word for it. I'm so nervous I can't remember it now. It's swampy-like, but you can smell the fierceness of the ocean, but it's stayed with the earth long enough so that the scent of the earth can mingle with that violence of the ocean.
Wow. And you get this sense that there's something big and profound and infusive. I mean, it kind of goes right through you is what I hear.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that. I'm going to pay attention to that. What's your favorite thing to touch?
Huge natural rock outcroppings. Not little rocks. I mean, when you can find one that's huge, where you can't even find, it's deep in the ground, and it may go back farther than you can see, and you touch that, and it's transports you.
Transports you. You can get, and where do you find these?
They're all around in New York.
Especially Central Park, right?
You
have a whole bunch right
yes.
there.
And every once in a while, when it gets very dry and the dirt becomes dust, and to your foot it flies in front, and then if you put your feet, your bare foot, you can feel the depth of that rock. It's a rock deep down, and it's just peeking up above because the weather's been dry, you know?
Well, that seems, Judy, to see what you're about. You seem to be about depth. Depth is a key word to your personality. You know, you have it in your taste, you have it in your smell, you have it in your touch, you know. What about in your sound? What's your favorite sound?
When you hear the wind punctuated with the silence going through trees and tall grass just before there's a storm. Just before there's a storm, you hear this violent whipping up of the leaves of the trees and the long grasses, and then suddenly there's this moment of pause, where it's absolutely silent, and then suddenly it whips up again, and it goes through this pulsation of wind and promise of this great movement, and then this moment of absolute silence. It's amazing.
Wow. And lastly, what about what you see?
I once saw a whale moving through the water.
And that was the greatest, grandest
I fell to my knees and wept. I couldn't believe this huge, cumbersome thing that was, if it had been on land, it would have been helpless. But in this huge body of water, it was magnificent.
Judy, thank you so much for calling in. We are out of time.
I'm sorry.
We have to go. No, you gave us beauty at the end. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Armand. Bless you.
Sure. You know, it's just amazing, like I said, to hear people. And if you listen without judgment, you hear the depth and the beauty of each person. Listen, my friends, to everybody around you. Stop judging. Be a lot less war, huh? Hey, I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. with Roberta Maria Atti. This is Armand DeMille. The website is thepositivemind.com, thepositivemind.com. If you want a copy of today's program, you would call 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. And thanks for the kind words, Majid.
Thanks to a grant from the Richmond County Savings Foundation, the Staten Island's Children's Museum is offering free admissions on school holidays for the fall semester. You can bring a child to the museum on October 10th, Columbus Day, October 20th, the Jewish holiday of Sukkot, Tuesday, November 8th, Election Day, November 11th, Veterans Day, and over the Christmas holidays, December 26th through December 30th. Please, do not miss this free opportunity to enjoy a cultural enrichment with children. For more information, call 718-273-2060. That's 718-273-2060.
For the wonderful world this would be.
Now, I don't claim to be an A student, but I'm trying.
Peace. Come to the Black August Film Festival all month long at the Breck Forum. Black August was established to acknowledge and study African resistance throughout the diaspora and honor freedom fighters like George and Jonathan Jackson, Asada Shakur, Fred Hampton, and others. Black August is a month of radical resistance, divine justice, and righteous rebellion. Come to the Breck Forum throughout the month for films on Ida B. Wells, Cuba, A Panther in Africa, Police Brutality, and many others. We'll be joined by guest speakers Sinclair Bourne, Haile Gerima, Kathleen Cleaver, Sam Anderson, and many others. For more information, go to breckforum.org or call 212-242-4201. That's 212-242-4201. The Breck Forum is located at 451 West Street between Bank and Bethune in the West Village.
a job? The YWCA of New York City's Center for Workforce Development is offering a free 8-week program for women to get prepared for some of today's demanding skills. Get training in Microsoft Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, resume writing, interviewing techniques, and professional presentation. To qualify, you must be 21 years of age, have a high school diploma or GED, be a U.S. citizen, or have a work permit. For more information, please call 212-735-9795 or email reentry@ywcanyc.org. Empower yourself.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.